It has been 1 year since President Biden promised in his inaugural address to unite a deeply divided nation.
Today, on this January day, my whole soul is in this, bringing America together, uniting our people, uniting our nation. And I ask every American to join me in this cause.
Our next guests have thought a lot about the role of faith in uniting America. The Most Reverend Michael Bruce Curry is the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church. And John Meacham is a presidential biographer and author. He's also co-chair of the Vanderbilt Project on Unity and American Democracy. John Meacham, Bishop Curry, thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And John Meacham, just for quick full disclosure here, you have advised President Biden in some of his past speeches. Did you have any big or small role in this inaugural speech he gave a year ago?
I contributed to the process. I was honored to do so, and along with several others, chiefly the president himself. And okay. I think the message of it, as you said, resonates. I, listening to those words now, I'm reminded of another inaugural, which was John F. Kennedy in 1961, when he quoted St. Paul, who said, "We have to be patient in tribulation."
Yeah, well, it is... I guess, as you've both talked about, a dark moment in the American democracy experiment. And John Meacham, last year you took one of your children to the Capitol, not long after the incursion, and you said publicly you were embarrassed by the scene that you saw. So tell us what you saw and how that fits into the dark moment you think America's in.
Showed up on in Washington on Ash Wednesday. That's to keep the bishop happy, you know, that we stick to his calendar. And the incredible amount of fencing. There were troops every 100 yards or so, as I recall. It was incredibly quiet because of the security. If the Capitol is to be the heart of democracy, it was a fortified one. And, you know, I've given much of my working life to exploring the ways and means of the republic, the human dimension of leadership in a democracy. And it was unsettling, profoundly unsettling to see the Capitol in such a state. And I think that the challenge we have moving forward at this hour and tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that is to struggle to be our best selves, to see each other as neighbors and not as adversaries.
Mm-hmm. And Bishop Curry, you have talked about this being a midnight hour for democracy. Tell us briefly what you mean by that, and do you have an example from our past of America being here before?
Oh, there are numerous examples from the past, but I must say that I borrowed the midnight hour from a sermon that Dr. King gave on several occasions at critical moments in the civil rights struggle, when he said America's at a midnight hour, and midnight is when it is darkest, and it is also when the dawn is struggling to be born. And I think that metaphor, I think it's true even now, that even when it's darkest, light is struggling to be born and shine. And so we may not have been at the darkest hour in American history, to be sure. I would imagine a civil war would be more that. We are at a dark hour and a dangerous one. And so those of us who believe in democracy, those of us who believe in human rights and just human decency, those of us who believe many of our founding documents, whether it's the Declaration of Independence or Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, or frankly, the Pledge of Allegiance we learned as children, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice, not for some, but for all. Many of us were formed on that. If we believe that, we need an awakening, if you will, to those founding ideals, recognizing the hypocrisy of our history, that's there. Yeah. But we need an awakening to those founding ideals and to each other.
Well, Bishop Curry, you have talked about a long battle over time between fear and hope. Where in your long view is your hope? I mean, you've mentioned Martin Luther King Jr. in the past. You've talked about Dietrich Bonhoeffer speaking up against the Nazis.
You know, my grandmother, who is was North Carolina Baptist in East Carolina here. Grandma used to always say, God will always have a witness. And in Nazi Germany, there was a Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Here, there was not only a Martin King, but there were Ella Baker. I mean, we can go through, we can call the names of people who were witnesses. That's what gives me hope, that there will always be a witness. And the truth is, I do believe that Dr. King was right. The moral arc of the universe is long, but it is bent toward justice. If I didn't believe it, I'd give up. I'd despair. And you remember, Dante taught us that above the gates of hell are the words, abandon hope, all ye who enter here. I refuse to abandon hope, which is what I believe is a contribution that our religious traditions can help us reclaim hope. And if you will, keep hope alive, even in the darkest midnight.
But we live in an increasingly secular America. There are Pew polls that go to dwindling numbers of Americans who say they're religious or are affiliated with these faith organizations. So how confident are you that when leaders speak in these moral and faith terms that Americans are listening?
Well, I actually don't think the ideals and aspirations have gone away. The Pew research has to do with institutional and organized religion and affiliation with that. But it has also noted that people's spiritual aspirations haven't gone anywhere. In fact, the opposite is the case. There is a quest, a yearning for an actual experience of the living God. And so I would suggest that the ideals behind our democracy, that the ideals of our faith traditions, you know, I come at that as a Christian, you know, and the ideal, the goal, the bottom line conviction that to love God and love the neighbor is the core of what God wants from us in this world. I mean, you know, when Jesus says on these two, love of God and love of neighbor, he reached back to Moses and said, this is on these two hang all the law and the prophets, everything God has been trying to say. That's a conviction, I think, that is transportable across even secular divides. And so I'm not giving up on religion, not just because I'm in the religion business. I'm not giving up on it because it's got power.
All right. John Meacham?
I think that we have to appeal to what we want to be as opposed to what we are. And you all are much better people than I am, I'm sure. But I know that I get things wrong more often than I get them right. And what I look for, both in the private sphere of citizenship and religion and sacrament, is related to what I hope for in the public sector, which is I would like to be a better person, defining better as someone who lives in closer accord with the ideals that in tranquility we can all probably agree on. Now, tranquility and the level of ideal is one conversation, and then it immediately goes into an arena of contention when we try to manifest those things. But that, what I just described, is human nature. And I think that It is a all-consuming struggle, and I think it would be foolhardy to try to exclude appeals that are rooted in these religious sensibilities, because those sensibilities have an enormous overlap with the most important of our secular goals.
That's John Meacham, presidential biographer and author, and he's co-chair of the Vanderbilt Project on Unity and American Democracy. And the Most Reverend Michael Bruce Curry, presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.